We're turning to the Song of Solomon tonight. The chapter is a chapter number 3. If you want to know where the Song of Solomon is, if you find the book of Isaiah, then you can turn to the left, and that'll be the little book there. If you find Psalms, then Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and then into the Song of Solomon. And so it's Song of Solomon chapter 3, and we'll read just 5 verses here at the commencement of this chapter. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, and we'll read from verse number 1. By night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways will I seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me. To whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please. Amen, and God will bless this reading of his precious word. We'll unite in prayer. Our loving Father, we come before thee tonight, fully, consciously aware how much we need thy help in the preaching of thy word in this house. We confess, O God, our own human weakness, our own human limitations, and we confess, O God, that without thy Spirit, this message will, every word of it, will fall to the ground and bring absolutely no profit to the heart and to the soul of all that are gathered here. And so we pray for thy Spirit. We cry, O God, that he might be here in his fullness. Grant, O God, thy power to be known. Grant, O God, a clear mind to preach thy word. Grant, O God, hearts to be open and hearts to be honest. Lord, tonight, that this night will be the night that those that are wandering far will come home to the Father's house. Answer our prayers, because we pray this in and through Jesus' precious and wondrous name. Amen. The book from which we have just read off this evening, the Song of Solomon, is probably one of the most difficult and complicated books to understand in the whole library of books that make up the Bible. To understand its abrupt movement at times from one scene to the next, you need to place yourself into the Middle Eastern culture in order to understand what is happening as the penman writes the commentary on the various events within the book. The song is a wedding song. The scene is that of a Middle Eastern wedding. The bride and the bridegroom have exchanged their wedding vows. The wedding banquet has concluded, and it's now time for the after-dinner proceedings. However, unlike Western society, there were no formal speeches. Rather, the married couple would rise from their seat and would relate to all that were gathered their love story by means of a song. To the gathered guests, they would sing a duet, where they met, how they fell in love, and how they were brought to this their wedding day. Solomon describes this wedding ode as the Song of Songs in chapter 1, because to him there was no song like that song in all the world. It tells the story of a love between a shepherd and a young Shulamite girl. The bride begins to sing the song in chapter 1 by speaking about her family and how that there was a moment in her life because of sin that she brought disgrace upon herself and upon her family. As a consequence of that fall, her family disciplines her by sending her to be a keeper of the vineyards. My mother's children were angry with me, she says in chapter 1, verse 6. And so they made me a keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. It's while she was tending those vineyards, separated from her loved ones, that a shepherd boy passes the gate. Their eyes cross the vine and they fall in love. Love at first sight, we would say. But the shepherd, having left his sheep with another, cannot stay with his new love. He must return to his flocks. However, he makes to her a promise, for he assures her that he's going to come back again and take her hand in marriage. By the chapter number 2, we find the bride in that marriage song recalling that moment when that long-awaited reunion takes place, when her love, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys, returns and wins herself unto him. She recounts in the verse 4 that he brought me into his banqueting house, or the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. It was there. It would be there in the banner-decked banqueting house that their marriage would be consummated. The Shulamite story is our story. The story of those that have been saved by God's grace. The fall in Eden's garden has banished us all to a place of disgrace like the Shulamite girl. And yet Christ, the great and the good shepherd of the gospel, the lover of man's soul, comes to that place of disgrace and lifts the disgraced one to a position of grace. In the gospel, we are brought into his banqueting house, and his banner over us is love. However, by the time we reach the 3rd chapter of the book, it seems that a distance has opened between the shepherd and the one who loves him. That often happens in our lives at times. Our first love for Jesus Christ wanes. We start to walk at a distance from the Lord. That distance is imperceptible at the beginning. We hardly even notice it ourselves, but as the weeks go past, as the months roll on, as the years come and go, we find ourselves walking at a distance from the Lord. It is to such people, those who are walking at a distance from the shepherd tonight, I want to primarily address this message to, but not exclusively. Within the opening 4 verses of the chapter number 3, we have 5 pieces of evidence that demonstrate the love that the bride had for her husband, even though that they were at a distance from each other at this particular moment of the historical record. Every Christian, whether they are in fellowship with God or whether they are walking out of fellowship with God, will possess those 5 pieces of evidence to some degree that prove that they have a saving interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sadly, there are too many in our nation tonight who profess that they know God, but by their works they deny him. Evidence can barely be found in their lives to find or to point to a divine encounter with the risen Christ. It's not my desire tonight to make you doubt your salvation. But I do want the truth of this message to reach your heart tonight, that you might be assured that you are a genuine believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight I pray that by the Spirit of God that he'll use this message that I've entitled 5 Evidences That I Am a Christian. I pray that God will use it to help you to examine yourself to whether you're in the faith or not. As we look at those evidences, I want you tonight to mentally ask yourself the question each time, does this piece of evidence exist in my life, proving that I am a genuine Christian? The first piece of evidence that proved this woman loved the lover of her soul was that she thought often upon him or about him. She often thought about him. Notice the verse number 1, by night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. As this woman who was estranged from the one she loved, as this woman lay upon her bed at night, all she thought about was the one who loved her. Her every waking and her every sleeping moment was taken up with thinking about him. Even in the stillness of the night, when the other residents within the city were fast asleep, this woman was thinking about the one who had stolen her heart from her. She thought of nothing She thought of no one else, only him. She thought about his love for her. He thought about his love to her. He thought about the words that he had spoken to her in the past, the demonstration of that love to her in earlier days. Her thought life was consumed with him. And so, as she retired to the place of rest, her bed, she's unable to sleep. She searches for him. She searches for him. It's obvious that this is not a physical searching, for how can one search upon the bed? By night, on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. No, this is not some sort of physical search, but rather it is a mental search. With the mind's eye, this woman is pursuing after the lover of her soul, hoping and wishing that the present distance that exists between them would soon no longer exist. Genuine backsliders know well what this woman is going through here in this opening verse of Song of Solomon, chapter 3. Because while the daytime is filled with the normal humdrum of things of life, work, social interaction with family members, pleasurable pursuits, time-consuming hobbies, nighttime is a completely different matter. The place of retirement, the place of rest, it brings no such rest or retirement to the seeking soul. It's there in the stillness of the night that the backslider, the memories come, memories of better days when they walked with God, while others sleep within the home. The backslider lies upon the bed at night and recalls to their mind the fellowship that they once enjoyed with God's people. They think about the times of God and that they used to meet with God themselves in the place of prayer. They remember the deep sense of God's presence that they had when they met with God around the throne of grace and around the Word of God. They remember the times when they met with God's people in the house of God. And yet all of that is a distant memory now. So long has been their departure from God. It seems to be it's been a completely different life altogether that they're thinking about. Whereas before their departure, their mind was filled with nothing but God and His Word. Tonight, the mind of the backslidden one is taken up with business and with pleasure, sporting, friends, money and property and cars and career, anything and everything but the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, am I speaking to you tonight? God has given this message tonight for you. A distance has opened up between you and the Lord. You're not as close to the Lord as you once were. The things of God that you once delighted to meditate upon now no longer occupies the mind, but rather the transient things of the world now consumes your thinking. I wonder, do you lie upon your bed? You ought to. You ought to, backslider. You ought to lie upon your bed at night and think about how things are not right between you and your God. And yet, though you do that, though you lie upon the bed, and though you realize that things are not right between you and your God, yet it seems to be that the journey back to the Father's house seems to be so long, even daunting for you to make. Maybe it's been the case that for some time that you've resolved to return to your first love, but when it comes to taking that final step, you seem to go further, so far and yet no further. This woman, you're happy to think of Christ in your mind, but coming into contact with Him again, coming into a relationship with Him once again, there seems to be some sort of reluctance on your part. Oh, that tonight the searching for the one whom you love would not only reside in your mind only, but that you would seek restoration of fellowship once again for the one and with the one who loved you and gave himself for you. It is my prayer that your contemplation of him would move to the next and needed level of you actually coming into contact with him and coming into contact with God. Now, as I said, while the message is primarily for those who are found in a backslidden state, let me say, sinner, is it not true that you're going through a similar process within your mind and within your life with respect to the Lord Jesus Christ and His offer of salvation and mercy? Is it not the case that you're lying on your bed at night and thinking, contemplating the things of God? They're coming fresh to your mind and to your heart. You think about His love on Calvary's cross for you, the blood that He shed, the offer that He gives to you in the gospel. You think much of Him through the day and through the night season. And all you think is, can He save someone like me? Can He save a rebel like me? Can He save a sinner like me, though, an individual that has gone so far in the world? Could God save such a sinner like me? Well, like the hesitant sinner, you too must arise from your sin. You must come on to God. Because you see, the evidence that someone is truly converted is that they think of Christ. The evidence that someone is not saved is that they never think of Christ. Psalm 10, verse 4, God, speaking of the wicked, God is not in all his thoughts. That's the mark of the unconverted person. Oh, the other side of the coin, the man who is saved, the one who is born again, is the one in whose thoughts God is. God consumes our thinking. Oh, that God would help us, those that profess his name, to think much of him. And consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners. The second piece of evidence that proved this woman's loved, the lover of her soul, was that she longed to be in fellowship with him. Lying on her bed, only thinking of the one who loved her, was not the state that this woman wanted to stay in. And so we note her resolve to see that fellowship she once enjoyed to be reestablished between her and the one who loved her so dearly. Note the words of verse 2, I will rise now, go about the city and the streets and in the broadways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. We must remember that this woman was placing herself at tremendous risk. She went out into the night. You know, today we have street lighting in our towns and in our cities. That street lighting, it gives us a sense of security, a sense of safety as we go out into the night. But in Bible times, there were no such things as street lighting. Such were not known at that particular time of human history. But it was into the dark she went, lantern in hand. Something has taken possession of her. It's a desire to be in contact and fellowship with the lover of her soul. She goes out into the blackness and the darkness with all the peril and the danger and the risk that was involved in that. She's seeking now. She's seeking the one whom she loved. That place of ease, that place where she once found comfort, is now forsaken by her. And now she pursues after the lover of her soul because she longs to be in fellowship. She longs for that fellowship to be restored with him who loved her so dearly. I put it to you, you who are cold in heart tonight, abiding where you are, presently, spiritually speaking, at this moment of time is not an option for you. Because to remain in such a place, backslider, is to have the worst of both worlds. To have the worst of both worlds. For you'll never find joy or satisfaction or peace in the world or in its pleasures. And yet you cannot find that joy and peace and satisfaction if you remain at a distance from the Savior. And so the backslider has the worst of both worlds, not the best of both worlds. And so tonight, backslider, you're found in some kind of spiritual no man's land. That's where you are. A spiritual no man's land. No wonder you're so miserable. No wonder the expression that lies on your face tonight is one of misery, one of dejection. It was J.C. Ryle who said, it is a miserable thing to be a backslider. Of all the unhappy things that can befall a man, I suppose it is the worst. a stranded ship, an eagle with a broken wing, a garden covered with weeds, a harp without strings, a church in ruins. All these are sad sights, but a backslider is a sadder sight still. And so the only option for you tonight is, like this woman, to rise and seek Him. Rise and seek Him. Because I remind you that all of your resolving and all of your thinking will not bring you into contact with the One who loved you at the start and who continues to love you. Because all the resolving and all of the thinking of the prodigal son in the far country never brought him a millimeter closer to the Father. Not a millimeter. He thought about it all, but it never actually brought him any closer to the Father. And the prodigal son eventually realized that, and so we read in the record of Luke chapter 15 that he arose. He arose and he came to the Father. He came to the Father's house. And in a similar way, backslider, all your thinking and all your resolving will not see fellowship with God restored to what it once was. You must, let me make it clear, you must, even if it means that you must swallow your pride, you must arise and seek your offended God. Your offended God. You must arise and go to Christ. Arise and go to the One who's been offended by your sin. When is that to happen? Note the words of the woman in verse number 2. She says, I will rise now. Now. Where you sit. Now. Young woman, now. Young man, now. Older man, older woman, now. Now. Where you sit before the meeting's over. Lift your heart to God and say, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm rising now. I'm rising now. Not a moment to waste, she said. Not a moment to waste, she said to herself, but now. Even though the hour is late, even though the dangers are real, now I will rise and go and seek Him until I find Him. Until I find Him. No matter how long the search is, I'm rising now and I'm going to my God. I'm going to the One who loved me. I wonder, is that your resolve tonight? Tonight are you saying, I will rise now? I pray that's exactly what you're saying. Let me bring it to you, the sinner. You need to say that. You need to say that tonight from the depths of your soul. I will rise now. Yes, not only say it, but follow through. Oh, sinner, follow through on it. Follow through on that resolve of yours tonight. Say, preacher, I'm rising now. I'm coming to Christ. I'm coming to the cross. I'm coming to the blood of the Lamb. Oh, preacher, tonight I'm coming. This is the night I'm coming. Now. Why, sinner, now? Because God said it. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And to those who rise, and to those who seek, whether backslider, whether sinner, the promise of God to you is this, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. You'll find Him. You'll find Him. It is the mark of every genuine Christian that they desire to have fellowship with the Lord, with nothing and with no one in between. Is that the case in your life? Is it the case in my life? The third piece of evidence that proved this woman loved the lover of her soul was that she was unashamed to make public confession of Him. She was unashamed to make public confession of him. As this woman rose in the night to seek the one whom she loved. Verse 3 relates that the watchmen of the city find her. To those men she asked the question, "Saw ye him whom my soul loveth?" I believe in that question. I believe there is a confession contained within her words. Because in those words, that woman was publicly admitting to others, maybe even for the first time, that she was no longer in fellowship with the one whom she had been in fellowship with. To others, most likely strangers to her, this woman was unashamed to publicly and openly confess of the one whom her soul loveth. "Saw ye him whom my soul loveth?" Public and open confession. When Peter found himself at a distance from the Lord, he failed on that very point. Given the opportunity to confess Christ, given the opportunity to own Christ as his own, around that open fire within the high priest's palace, instead of confessing and owning Christ, he swore in denial that he even knew the man. You know, as backsliders drift further and further away from the Lord, they're found to become more and more ashamed of their former identification with him. "Did you go to that church? Is that the place where you used to go? Did I not see you standing at the open air a few years ago?" And then there's a denial. But the mark of someone that's returning, the mark of one who's coming back, is that they often confess to others, maybe a Christian wife, maybe a Christian husband, maybe a friend, maybe a work colleague, maybe a believer, maybe a minister, maybe a pastor. But at least they publicly confess that they're no longer in the place with God that they once were. They begin to speak of him to others as God strangely begins to warm their hearts. I wonder, is that your case tonight? Whereas before you would have closed out any conversation about the Lord Jesus Christ, you're now quite happy to speak. You're quite happy to speak about him to believers whom God has brought across life's pathway. Though you're still not where you ought to be, you're headed in the right direction. You're not far from the Father's house. But don't fall short. Don't fall short of the goal of knowing the restorative power of God within your own soul. How can I tell a person is not genuinely converted? I can tell it to be the case because they are ashamed to publicly confess and to identify with him. The Lord Jesus Christ, the speaker in Mark 8, verse 38, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Ashamed of Christ now, he'll be ashamed of you when he comes. Ashamed of Christ before others is often a telltale sign that a person has never trusted in Christ for salvation, or that they are following afar off, one or other. But the mark of a genuine believer is that they are unashamed to own their Lord and to defend his cause. They're unashamed to make public confession of their love to Christ, whether that be by witnessing to others, confessing their love for Christ around the Lord's table, confessing love for him in the waters of baptism, believers' baptism, standing in a gospel air, open air, handing out a gospel tract, publicly identifying with Jesus Christ. "I am on the Lord's side, and I'm not embarrassed, and I'm not ashamed to own him as my Lord." That's the evidence that God has wrought a work of grace in your heart. The fourth piece of evidence that proved this woman loved the lover of her soul was that she prized his company above all other company. She prized his company above all other company. Mark with me the opening words of the verse 4. It was but a little that I passed from them. The company of these watchmen was not this woman's desired company. Instead, she wanted the company of the one who had set his love upon her. The company of the watchmen was company that was unsatisfying to her, unpleasing to her. And so we read that she passed from them. And often tell a lot about a person by the company that they choose to keep. When a person leaves their first love, it's not long before they leave the company of those who love the Savior. It's not long. If you love the Savior, you'll be gathered with God's people. Whatever that takes, whatever distance that would be, you'll want to be with God's people. Morning, night, prayer meeting. You'll want to be with the company of God's people. And you will very readily and you will very happily pass from the company of those who know not the lover of your soul. How quickly a person can easily drift from God, fall out of fellowship with God. Whenever the saints of God, they meet for public worship, their seat becomes vacant. When the people of God gather for prayer, their voice is no longer heard because they're absent. When the believers gather for fellowship, they're noted for their non-attendance. That's a sign of someone drifting, backsliding, growing cold. The backslider that is on his or her way home, it is a strange thing, but they start to find themselves in the company of God's people again. They find themselves in the company of those who love Christ. And that seat that was vacant within the church is now once again occupied. And their worldly friends are exchanged for the people of God. And yet with all that, I want to remind you that it is the Savior's company that you need to prize more than even the company of the saints of God. Because a return to God's house does not necessarily mean that you have returned to God. Peter, after his denial, found himself where? In the company of Christ's disciples. Whenever they went on a fishing expedition, but it wasn't until he was face to face with the Savior, it wasn't until he had a personal interview with the Christ that he was restored and Christ commissioned him to feed the lambs and the sheep of the church. What I'm trying to say is that your return to the fellowship and to the company of God's people is commendable. But it's not enough. There needs to be a face-to-face encounter with Christ. A time when you admit and a time when you repent of your sin of backsliding. May tonight be such a night. It is a mark of the genuine Christian that they prize the company of him above the company of all others. The fifth and the final piece of evidence that proved this woman loved the lover of her soul was that she had a desire to introduce him to others. She had a desire to introduce him to others. As we read on in the chapter, we find that it wasn't long after she left the company of the watchman that this unnamed woman came in contact with the one whom she loved. It was but a little. Note the words. It was but a little, verse number 4, that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. Follow the train of thought. The watchmen. They were individuals that would have been garrisoned, stationed on the city walls. Their job was to look for the approaching enemy. And so in the midst of the night, those watchmen were found stationed on those walls. But we read here that she goes past them. She passes from them. And if they be on the city walls, and if they're watching the city gates, that means that she must go to a place outside the city walls. And it was going to be there that she met the shepherd. There is a green hill far away, without the city wall, where our dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. Where will you find the shepherd? At the cross, outside the city walls. I remind you of the words in Hebrews 13, verse 12. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Outside the gate, outside the city walls, this is where the woman found the one who loved her so dearly. He found her outside the camp. That's where you'll find Christ. He's outside the camp. The problem is that you're inside the camp. You have allowed the world into your heart. You have allowed other company into your heart. You have allowed the pleasures of this world into your heart. And so you must arise and go outside the camp. And you'll find him there. You'll find the great shepherd there. You can only but imagine the relief, the joy that that woman must have felt when she found him whom she so dearly loved. She holds him with such a firm grip that the prospect of departing from him is improbable. She found him, and then she says, I held him, and I would not let him go. Never again. Never again. And then we read these words. Until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. That's where she brought him to. Right into the home. Right into the home. Having found him, this woman now wants to introduce him to others. And that's always the mark of a genuine Christian. They want to introduce Christ to others. The first place they often start, the first place that we always should start, is at home. In our mother's house. You know, from these words, may the returning backslider never feel. May they never feel that their usefulness for God is over. May they never feel that they have blown it, we would say. Because tonight, if you return, you may be the means of introducing others to Christ, even those within your family that have watched on to your backsliding and your departure from God. Your best days of service, like Peter's, may still be in front of you. And so as I close tonight, let me ask you, is your thought life, is my thought life, Is it taken up with Christ at times? Do you long to be in fellowship with Him so that nothing comes between you and Him, not a cloud between? Are you unashamed to make public confession of Jesus Christ and own Him as your own? Do you prize the company of Christ above the company of all others? And is it your desire to introduce Christ to others? If these things are present, then they give evidence that you belong to Christ. If not, may you seek Him. May God help you. May God help me to be honest in this house tonight. Has a distance opened up between me and my Lord? If so, may you arise now and seek Him until you find Him. And that will be a happy day for you. And it will be a happy day for the church. May tonight you come home. May God be pleased to use His word tonight. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I don't want you to sit in this house tonight and think that message was for someone else. I don't want you to do that. This message is for you. This message is for me. Do I prize His company above all other company? Am I in fellowship with God? Am I willing to identify with Him publicly before my friends and my work colleagues that I belong to Jesus Christ? May God challenge your heart. I tell you, backslider, you continue on the road you're on and you don't know. You haven't a clue of how far you will fall into sin. You need to stop. You need to get real with God tonight. You need to be honest with your own heart and stop pretending that all is well when it's not. You need to repent of your sin because backsliding is a sin. And you need to see how wicked and how bitter a thing it is, as Jeremiah tells us. And you need to get in fellowship with God for your own sake, for the sake of your family and your loved ones, for the sake of this community and this nation. Get back to God. Get back to loving Him who first loved you. Our loving Father, we cry to Thee that Thou wilt apply this word to every heart, this preacher included. Cry to Thee, O God, that Thou wilt restore unto us the fellowship that we once enjoyed, the blessing that we once knew. And O God, we cry to Thee that we'll not seek or we'll not stop seeking Thee until we know within our soul that all is well, all is well, and we're in fellowship with God. And so challenge hearts. If you need help tonight, let me encourage you to seek counsel. I'm here to help. The backslider, you know the way home. It's to the place outside the city. It's to the place where the shepherd is. It's to the cross you need to get to. Sinner, if you need help, seek counsel. Seek help tonight. We're here to help. May God give you the grace and courage to arise, to come to Christ. Our Father, take Thy word. Be pleased to apply it with power to every heart, and we'll give Thee all the glory for it. For we pray this in and through Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.